Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Daniel, the first chapter of the book of Daniel. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to read verse number 1 and verse number 2 of chapter 1. Chapter 1, book of Daniel. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and beseeched it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again today, I certainly want to thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. And I'm thankful also tonight, Father, for our young people. Thank you, Lord, for their sweet testimonies. And thank you for those who took the time out of their busy lives to spend the week with them and be a blessing and a help to them. And I want to thank you for that. And Lord, once again tonight, this is a new service. Lord, we need your blessings, need your help, need your power, need your wisdom. We ask you, Lord, to use us tonight as we preach your word. Thank you in the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The first three chapters of the book of Daniel, I believe, gives us a very, very important lesson for Christians today concerning the day that we live in. I believe the Word of God teaches us, as we found out in the book of Ephesians, that we must have on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. The days are evil. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The days are very evil. You and I need extra strength. We need God's armor. We need his help to stand forth in these evil days. I believe the book of Daniel, the first three chapters, and certainly we're not going to cover all of those chapters, but we're going to talk about some things in them, gives us a great illustration of how we too can stand when the day is evil. Daniel did that. His three friends did that. They stood even though the situation around them was absolutely terrible. In captivity. In fact, if you'll notice the things that I read to you there in that first two verses, Jerusalem was in ruins, destroyed. The temple was destroyed, tore down and destroyed. Multitudes of people had their lives taken. Blood ran in the streets, I'm sure, in Jerusalem. Here we find not only that, they took the vessels out of the house of God, and they took them to Babylon and put them in the house of a false god. Things were pretty rough, really difficult. I think probably more than likely their heart was faint. I'm surely to some degree they felt all hope is gone. But there's always been a remnant of God's people that never did give up. There always has been. There's been those who simply look at the circumstances that surround them and just adjust to those circumstances. But there's always been a remnant that's been willing to say, I'm not going to adjust. Amen. I'm just not going to do it. Amen. I'm just going to stand. There always has. God's always had his people that did that. We have a man tonight by the name of Daniel and three of the Hebrew children who did that. They said, I don't care what the circumstances of life is. I don't care where we are. It just doesn't make any difference. We're just going to stand for God no matter what happens. And we're just going to keep it straight. You know, you heard me say this morning, and I want to say this very, very graciously. You heard me say this morning when we talked about the camp, Bill Rice Camp. Let me go back a little bit and say to you, I thank God for all the years that Bill Rice Camp has been a blessing to multitudes of people. I thank God for that. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You don't say, well, it's all for naught. No, it wasn't all for naught. God done a lot of wonderful good things. But let me share this with you. Some of the things in the direction that the Bill Rice camp is going is a direction that we're not going. In their standards, in fact, it was worse this year than it ever has been. There was a lot of good things happened. We thank God for it. But there was some standards that they are now setting, going in a completely different direction than what we want. We believe God would want us to go. I really believe with all of my heart, if Bill Rice Sr. would know about this, he would scream to the top of his voice. I believe if Bill Rice, who is there now heading that up, if his uncle, Brother John R. Rice, would understand what's going on, I think he would literally come down and shake him. Now, I'm just saying that. You can't walk away from the standards of old and get by with that. You've got to just stand. Now, this is from his own words, the way Bobby said it, his own words. He said, well, there's the trends and the fashions of this world and the trends and fashions of going in this direction. We must yield to that. No, we must not. And I have all intentions of sending a very kind letter thanking them for the past years, but informing them that we'll never bring ours back there. I'm not mad at them. I'm just saying that's not the direction of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and it's not the Bible direction. No matter what your circumstances is, you do not yield to the pressures of the world. If that would have been true, Daniel would have come into Babylon and absolutely threw down everything he ever believed and said, oh, well, I just got to go along with the trends. Amen? That's what he would have done. But Daniel did not do that. Daniel's faith was in a God that never changes. He's always the same. He always will be. And I believe that Daniel's faith, as you'll notice here in the scripture, Daniel's faith was in a great and wonderful God who believed that he never changed. That he was going to be the same in Babylon as he was in Jerusalem. We've got to understand that too. Our God has not changed and the Bible has not changed. Our faith is not contingent on the circumstances around us or the conditions around us. Our faith is in a holy God that is the same yesterday and today and forever and will never change. And yet it's in the midst of some of the darkest hours that faith shines the brightest. You've got to always remember that. In the dark hours of time, that's when faith stands up and shines. That's when those who truly believe and are willing to stand and hold their convictions shine forth. Oh, they may be hated, they may be despised, but they shine forth. And I believe with all of my heart, and of course that's what I believe that Daniel was that kind of a person. And I believe Daniel's faith caused him not to compromise because his faith was in God Almighty. And he knew God would take care of him no matter what. If you read through these scriptures, you find out Daniel faced death. But Daniel was willing to face death. He did not know that God would reach down and close some lions' mouths. The three Hebrew children did not know for sure that God would take them out of that furnace. Their faith was just in God no matter what God decided to do. And when it comes down to it, I believe as you look back through the scriptures, I believe you find that many men in the Bible has made this same judgment, that God is able to defeat their enemies no matter how he decides to do it. He is able. Amen. They made that judgment or they wouldn't have done the things they did in the Bible that we find some of these great men of God doing. I remember hearing Jonathan, the son of Saul, friend of David. And here's what he said over in 1 Samuel. The Lord will work with us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Why did Jonathan say such a thing of that when he was outnumbered? Because he just knew God was God. And it made no difference whether there was a few or a whole lot, God was able to save. That's what men of faith do. They just believe in God. Their trust is not in numbers, but their trust is in God. I think about David over in 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter, who said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" You remember who those armies were? Shaking at the presence of Goliath? Scared to death of Goliath? And David steps forth and calls them the army of the living God. You know why he could do that? Because his trust was in God, not in that army. That kind of faith is what will get miracles completed, done. Because it's faith in God. What God will do, not what man will do. I remember on Mount Carmel, I wasn't there, but I remember on Mount Carmel, as I read through the Bible, that Elijah standing there before King Ahab and 450 prophets of Baal and also 400 prophets of the groves. Build an altar to God alone. The people of Israel would not even back him. Stood there alone and built an altar and talked to God and called fire down out of heaven. How could a man like that stand with all of these false prophets and his own people not willing to stand with him? How could he do that? Because his faith was in God, who could do everything, no matter what it was. That's why Daniel, when he went to the house of his own house that day and opened up the windows and knelt down and prayed toward Jerusalem, could do that because he knew that he was breaking the command of the king. But it didn't matter to him because he'd been doing that every day. He'd just been going, open the windows and praying toward Jerusalem every day, and he just kept on doing it. How could he do that when he knew what the consequences were? Down in the lion's pit, it didn't matter. You know what? Because he served the true and the living God. His faith was in God. So I'm saying to you and I, that's the same kind of faith that you and I need. You see, what happened here, and you say, where did all that begin? I know his faith started, because he came as a young man to Babylon. And I know it started early in life. But when he got to Babylon, I find out one thing that he did in verse number 8, chapter 1. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel made a decision. Everything looked bleak. I mean, they were in captivity. I mean, the vessels out of the house of God had been taken and put into false God's houses. Jerusalem is in ruins. Everything was a mess. And what was going to happen? Daniel said, doesn't make any difference. I can serve God in Babylon as well as I can serve him in Jerusalem. I can be holy in Babylon just like I can be holy in Jerusalem. He knew that the spiritual conditions of the people that surrounded him, the God's people, let me say to you, was not good. He knew that when he stood, he was pretty well going to be standing alone. For the people there had yielded to the king's meat. The people there, basically most of them, had done what Babylon wanted them to do. But there's always a group of people. There's always a people that says, I'm not going to do it. not being smart, not being dilatory, simply because I'm not going to do it because God wouldn't want me to do it. You see, he knew he could have fellowship in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar just like he had back in the temple in Jerusalem. Because God is God. He still could have the great fellowship and communion with his God, no matter where he was at. What we need today in the midst of the worldly church are those who will determine not to yield to the influence of the world. Now, folks, the only way that's going to be done is a people that just simply determines they're not going to do it. But it is so needed. It's so needed in our churches today of people rising up in those churches and saying, we're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat. We're just not going to do it. And that's so needed across this great land. And I'm saying to you, you can be one of those people. And maybe you already are one of those people. Maybe that's a decision that you have already made. And let me say, the church in America is worldly as a whole. It's terribly worldly, and it's going more worldly. Did you hear about the church over in Sullivan that started? My wife was reading that to me right on the square in Sullivan. There's been 600 people that has went through there since it started. They have no regular type services like we would have. Come as you are, do whatever you want. Just come on and enjoy it. I want to tell you something. That's ungodly. You can just say whatever you want to. It's ungodly. There needs to be no confusion in the house of God. The Word of God must be preached, must be taught as it is, not the way people want it. But those kind of churches are not just new. They're all over this country. They're spreading all over this country, and they're gaining multitudes of people. But a church that will just simply stand is what's needed. What I'm saying to you folks, no matter what anybody does, we just need a church here that stands in Jasonville, Indiana. And we need a people who will stand and just determine in their hearts they're not going to defile themselves with the king's meat. They're not going to do it. That is so needed. And you know why we can do it? Because Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. The foundation of God standeth sure. I believe God's going to finish his work. I believe he's going to get done exactly what he said he was in the Bible. I believe it's going to all turn out all right. I believe I'm going to end up in heaven. And all this is going to be done. I believe anybody saved is going to end up in heaven when this is all over. I just believe that. And it is going to be over one of these days. Amen. And why until it is, we need some people like Daniel that just decides they're not going to defile themselves with the king's meat. They're just not going to be a part of that, you see. Now, what I'm going to do is just simply give you three simple things that happened because of the determination that Daniel made and also the three Hebrew children. They made a determination. They are not going to defile themselves. Now, what I am saying to you is this. I believe things that happened after that is a result of the decision they made there. It just didn't all begin. They just didn't all at once face a lion's den, and all at once Daniel said, man, I got to get some faith here. I'm going to get eat. It was already there. Because of the determination that he made back when he came to Babylon. His faith was in the right place. That's what I'm saying to you. You don't want to wait till tragedy strikes to try to gain faith. You want to have it now. You want your faith in the right place. You want to be already determined you're not going to defile yourself with this old world. And then when the tragedies or the difficult times of life come, you'll be able to stand. Why? Because of your faith is in the right place. Your faith is in God, who can do all things for you. First of all, the Bible tells us this. It says in Psalms, the 25th chapter, is a verse of Scripture. Listen to what he says. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he shall show them his covenant. One of the things that is a benefit for people who have made a determination to live for God no matter what is that God shows them his secrets. God gives them wonderful truths from the Bible that other people do not hear. It's not that they cannot. It's because their trust is not there and God does not give them his secrets, his truths. It's not that he doesn't want to. He wants to. It's that he can't. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. And he will show them his covenant. You see, the world or God's backslidden people here could not know the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. They couldn't know it. The astrologers and all of those did not know what the dream was. Even the others of God's people that was there in captivity did not know what the dream was. But you have a people, you have a man here by the name of Daniel who had purposed in his heart he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat, and God showed him the secret. Look in chapter 2 of Daniel, verse 14. It says, "And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hastily from the king?' Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he should give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." You got to notice that what they had was they had a great communion with God. These four men loved God and they had a communion with God. They had already determined when they first come to Babylon, "I'm not going to get mixed up with the world. I'm going to keep separated from the world. I'm not going to do what the world says. We're going to serve our God. We're going to go do what God wants us to do." So when it came down to the need of someone to know the dream, and to understand the truth of the dream, God opened that up to some people who had already said, "I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to be a part of Babylon's system. In other words, I'm not going to defile myself with the world. I'm not going to do as they do. I'm going to live for God." That's who he gave the secret to. If you'll look in verse number 29 here, let me see. Verse 19. "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in the night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." You see, God revealed that to him and gave it to him. Why? Because of the decision he had made way back. What I'm trying to get you to do tonight is this. Make a decision, if you have not already made it, make a decision right now. You're not going to get defiled with this world. That you're going to give yourself to God. And then when the troubles come, and when you need the wonderful secrets of God, you need the blessings of God, they'll be there for you. Daniel needed it badly. He was going to die. They was going to kill them all. And God opened up the secret, his secret, to a man who had already said, "I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat." He didn't all at once get faith. He didn't all at once decide not to go the way of the world. He had already decided that. This is just a benefit of his decision he made when he come to Babylon. And at the end of it, we're not going to spend a lot of time with that, but if you go over in chapter 2 and you look at verse 46 and verse 49, what you see is this. You see a haughty king of Babylon, proud king of Babylon, on his face, prostrate on his face, bowing down to Daniel and bragging on Daniel's God. Now why? Why could God use Daniel like? Because of the decision he made way back there. "I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to live the way the world lives." See, what I'm trying to say to you is, folks, make that decision. You're not going to go that direction. And God then will do whatever is necessary. This to me is one of those things that's almost impossible situation to see King Nebuchadnezzar on his feet bowing down before a man of God. That to me is almost impossible in the day that they live. That king, all he had to do is say, "Kill somebody," and they killed him. He was dead. And here we find him prostrate before Daniel. Now why? Because of the decision that Daniel made a good long time ago, and God protected him. God took care of him. The decision, he was not going to defile himself. He was not going to be a part of that. Amen. What I'm saying to you, you need to make a decision like that for future. For the future of your life. So that down the road, when things come up, your faith will be in the right place and God will protect you and take care of you and see to the need of your life. Don't wait till a tragedy comes. Don't wait till some type of circumstance is moving into your life that is bad and difficult, and then all at once say, "Oh God, I need more faith." That's not the time to do it. The time to do it is way back here. And make a determination, this is the way I'm going to live. I'm just going to live that way. Not only that, this faith that Daniel had in God gave him the strength to despise the image of Nebuchadnezzar. You see, there come a time when Nebuchadnezzar said, "I'm going to build an image." We have three Hebrew children, who also had made a decision they was just going to live for God. They didn't realize there's going to come a day down the road when they was going to be commanded to bow down to a false image and worship that false image. Why or how in the world could they have enough strength to say, "It doesn't make any difference what you do to me. We are not going to bow down to that false image"? How could they do that? The other people of Israel were not doing that. They were bowing down. Why could these three children not bow down? Because of a decision they'd made a good long time ago. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to live the way of the world. And when it come down to the fact of making the decision, are you going to bow down to that image, or are you going to bow down and worship that image? What are you going to do? Are you going to reject that? What are you going to do? There was no question. I don't think that they stopped and even give thought to it. It didn't matter to them that the whole world that was gathered there that day, the people of the world that was gathered there that day, was absolutely bowing down. It didn't make any difference if the whole world was against them. It didn't matter. They weren't going to do it. Why? Because of the decision they made a good long time ago. Now, folks, it don't make any difference if the world's against you. It's going to be. That's scriptural. The world is going to hate you. That's just part of being the Christian. Even to the point of making you bow down. It hasn't come to that here, but I'm saying even to that point, they're going to hate you. There is coming a day when there is going to be an image made. The Antichrist is going to make an image, and he's going to tell everybody to bow down and worship that image. And there's going to be people like Daniel and these three Hebrew children is going to say, "No." You know why? Because of a decision they made a good long time ago. Their faith is in God. I'm saying to you that you and I need to make a decision for God Almighty that we're not going to get caught up in this world and entanglements of this world. We're going to decide that. We're not going to defile ourselves with this world and just put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and go on. And then when something comes along, our faith will be in the right place and we'll be able to even not ask questions. Just simply say, "No, I'm not going to do that." The only question we have to ask, what is right in the eyes of God? What would God have us do? Would God have us to bow down to that false image? Of course not. Would God have us get mixed up into the cares of this world? Of course not. Would God have you at some worldly function instead of the house of God? Of course not. Those decisions are already made to a person who's dedicated their hearts and life to Christ. Decisions already made. And so when something comes up, there's no decision to be made. You just do what is right to do. So I'm simply saying to you, the faith that they had in their God helped determine this. In other words, they just simply done what was right no matter what happened. They just done what was right. That's the way you do it. You just ask yourself what's right in the eyes of God, and that's what you do. It didn't make any difference to them what other people believed. It didn't matter to them. They didn't look at their neighbors, and they didn't say to my, they wonder what my neighbor's going to do. It didn't matter to them. They just did what was right. When God speaks, we do not turn around to see how it affects that person sitting beside us or living next door to us. We do not ask the question, wonder what they'll think of me. Faith just simply says, I'm going to do right. What that person thinks or thinks of you or what they think, contrary maybe to what you're going to do, doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. Why? Because you made a determination a good long time ago, you're just going to do what's right in the eyes of God. That's where your faith is. When Saul of Tarsus heard Jesus Christ speaking to him on the road to Damascus, he didn't go and consult with the chief priest and the Pharisees. Wonder what I should do. The Bible says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. It's not interesting, it's not important what man says when God speaks. When God speaks and he speaks in his Bible, the Word of God, it's not important what man thinks. It's unimportant. No matter if the whole world is against you, it matters not. And here we find most of the world that gathered that day, of that group of people that was gathered, absolutely was against them. Them three Hebrew children was the only ones that said no. Why? Because of the decision they made a good long time ago. That their faith was just going to be in God. They didn't wait till they got to the furnace, to the door of the furnace, and make a decision that they're going to serve God. That was already made way before they got to the furnace. And folks, listen, that's another thing that you've got to remember, thirdly, is this. The right kind of faith in God will cause you to be able to face the furnaces of life. And they're out there. You'll be able to come to that furnace door having already made the decision before you ever get there. Why? Because of the faith you have in God Almighty, you see. Their victory came when they came into Babylon and said, I'm not going to defile myself. That's where victory come at the furnace. You see, this was not a group of people who was testifying to the wonderful goodness of God in a church service. That's pretty easy. This was a group of people, three people, Hebrew children, who was standing, testifying for God when everybody else was against them. How can that happen? How can that be done? Because of the right kind of faith in God Almighty. Out of God's strength, that's why you can do it. That's the only reason you're going to be able to do it. It's pretty easy to even for this preacher to stand and preach the Word of God to you people, because you're a people who've come to hear the Word of God preached. It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy for you to stand up in a church service. Nothing wrong with that, but stand up in church service and testify to the goodness of God. That's easy. But when we think about these three children, Hebrew children, these three men who stood in the midst of a people who literally hated them and despised them and simply said, makes no difference what you do. Throw us in a furnace, whatever. God will either save us out of it or, in essence, he'll let us burn up and we'll go to heaven. That's basically what they were saying. Makes no difference. Now, I'm saying, how does a decision like that made? Now, put yourself in that position. Think about it. You're not talking about testifying in this church. You're talking about testifying against a world who hated you and a person who had the power to kill you. Where does that kind of faith come from? That kind of faith comes from a decision made a good long time ago. Decision to live for God no matter what. Decision in the God who can take care of you no matter what happens to you. I believe this statement that they made here, and I'm not going to take time to read all of that, but you can in the third chapter, how they just told Nebuchadnezzar they wasn't going to bow down. If you want to read all of that, be wonderful. But I believe that that was made by some men who had counted the cost. They knew there was a good chance In fact, they was probably sure that they was going to burn up when they made that decision. They said, it's up to God, whatever God wants to do. They had already counted the cost. And I'm saying to you, we need to count the cost. We need to make a determination, folks, that I don't know what's coming down the road. I don't know what's coming for you, and I don't know what's coming for me. I don't know. But we need to make a determination way back here that we're just going to live for God. We're not going to defile ourselves with the king's meat. We're just going to do right and let God take care of the circumstances that come from down the road. And he will. You see, God can take his servants home in a chariot of fire or in a fiery furnace, whichever he chooses. And you'll notice God's the one that decides those things. We're living in a day, I call it, and maybe I hope you'll understand when I call it that way. I don't think we're not living in the day of Jesus' power. When I say that, most of the things he lets develop in life. We're not living in a day of the great miracle day. That doesn't mean he doesn't perform miracles. I'm just simply saying the days of Elijah and the days of Elisha were miracle days. Days of the apostle were miracle days. They was performed. People were raised from the dead. But basically, we're not living in this church age in that kind of a day. God can do anything, but he lets things pretty well take the course. He moves and intervenes and helps us. But more than likely, if one of our loved ones dies, he's not going to step in and raise him from the dead. That doesn't have anything to do with that he can't. He's just more than likely not going to do that. There would be no purpose for it. I'm just simply saying to you, are you willing to face the consequences of life and be willing to whatever comes your way, no matter what it is? If it's a fiery furnace, are you willing just to face it? You can, let me say that, if you get your faith in the right place. A faith that just trusts God, no matter what happens. You see, God decided, chose to take them into the furnace for the glory of God. He knew that he was going to receive the honor and the glory. He knew that Pastor Ross would be preaching about it here this day. He knew that multitudes of preachers would preach about it down through the years and give God the glory for what he'd done. So God received the glory. He decided that it was right to put them in the furnace. He decided to do that. But let me say to you, he decided also at the same time to go with them in it. And that's one thing you can be assured of. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter what situation you do face, you can be assured of one thing. Jesus Christ is not going to leave you. And he's going to go with you through it. See, he had walked with God in the king's palace, and now God was walking with him in the fiery furnace. You can be assured of that. You walk with God, God walks with you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about him failing. He cannot fail. His word has promised that. So you see, I'm just simply saying he'll be there in that fiery furnace. He'll do that for you. I think a fiery furnace, a God in a fiery furnace, is much better than Nebuchadnezzar's palace without God. Amen. So again, where do you get this faith to face all these things? You make a determination. You're not going to defy yourself with the king's meat. You make a determination, I'm just going to do it God's way. And then when things come up, God will be there to help you and strengthen you through those times of affliction and trouble. And another thing that I'd like you to notice is this. It's real interesting to me that right before they went to the fiery furnace, all eyes were upon this image. People were bowing down to it. I mean, the whole world that was gathered there that day, eyes was on this image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. They was bowing down. Time these three Hebrew children got done, their eyes was off of the image and they was on the true and living God. No longer were they standing and awing at this image that he had set up. Now they was awing at three children, Hebrew children, who had walked into a furnace of fire and came out, and they saw God in there with them. Their eyes was looking at something different. I'm saying that's, again, folks, the kind of faith you and I need. This world needs to see some people who just believe in God. And not only just believe it, just live it. This world needs to see a group of people here in Jasonville, Indiana, that just does something for God and just believes God's going to do it and just allows God to do it. And He will. I remember a place down on 54 that sat there for years with a basement built. Just sat there. Every time I'd go back there, I'd say it's a disgrace to God. Now, God wasn't disgraced, but what they had done was a disgrace to God. They got half started and then they quit. I'm just simply saying to you, this building project out here needs to bring honor to God. And it needs to be completed and done on time with God's people doing it and providing for it. I believe that we've seen already God do wonderful things. And I don't think we're done. I believe with all my heart that these young people of this church, this has been one of my greatest desires, is to see the young people of this church to see something done for God, and they'll remember it and they'll be a part of it. I heard some of our men bring their young people up here, their young children up here, and say, I just want them to be a part of it. That's right. You know why? They're building memories of what God is going to do here. Amen. And that's important. But I'm saying to you folks, there's also in the midst of all of these good things, there also comes things that are difficult. And you're going to need to make a decision way back here. When these difficult times come, it'll all be settled in your heart. You're just still going to walk with God. Fiery furnace comes. The lion's den comes. The prophets of Baal stand around you, threatening you. Make a difference. God's still God. Amen. So you get that kind of faith and you'll know the secrets of God. You get that kind of faith and you'll get the strength to despise or stand against the images, the false images of this world. Not only that, you'll be able to face the fiery furnaces when they come into your life. Let's pray. Father, again, thanking you today for your goodness and your kindness and your wonderful grace. Thank you for examples like Daniel and the three Hebrew children. Thank you for them. God, help us to make our determinations, Lord, in our life that this is just where we're going to stand, no matter what anybody else does, no matter what the world does, no matter what other Christians do. We're just going to stand right, do what's right, proper. And Lord, we're just going to get our strength from you. And Lord, we know that you'll be there to help us to meet the need of our life. Thank you now in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.